Welcome in to You're the Cure right here on AM 580 and 95.9 FM. Dr. Ben Edwards, MD, Veritas Medical. Check out the website, veritasmedical.com, for past archived programs. You can find them all right there and other important information, veritasmedical.com. And along the way, if you have any questions, comments, feel free to text anytime throughout the program, 806-745-5800. Let me say good morning once again to Dr. Ben Edwards.
Good morning, Wade.
How are you, sir?
Doing great. How about you?
I'm doing good. I had a good weekend. Things were going well. We're still self-isolating, I guess. Stay-at-home orders all over the place. You're shaking your head like crazy.
Yeah.
It's sad
and hard to see. And I know these are politicians trying to do what they feel like is best, mostly following orders from up on high. And that's what we're going to talk about today, the up on high. Could be biased, could be having some conflicts of interest.
Yeah.
And like I've said before on the show, everyone's got a bias, including myself. And my bias is God created us, and our bodies are amazing at healing themselves. And I've seen it with thousands and thousands of patients in our clinic at Veritas Medical that we founded in 2012. So 7 years or 8 years worth of seeing patients heal themselves. I don't heal them. I don't give them any magic potion to heal them. I can give them some different, quote unquote, magic potions that are more natural that can treat a symptom, just like I can with a pharmaceutical, like I was trained in medical school to treat a symptom. I can force your blood pressure and blood sugar down to a normal number, but it's not treating the actual cause of the disease. So therefore, you have the disease for the rest of your life, and it gets a little worse every year. Managing symptoms doesn't work long term. But we have thousands of patients who have reversed their symptoms or put a bit into remission. We have to be careful with using the word cure because the FDA gives a very clear definition. Mm-hmm. Drugs cure treatments and cures, and that's why we have to be careful even with the COVID coronavirus thing. I just read about a chiropractor in the Dallas area that got a cease and desist order basically from the U.S. Attorney's Office because of he used the wrong words. He was using talking about some various supplements and treatments, which you can't use that word treatment or cure, because there are no cures for coronavirus, COVID-19. So therefore you can't say that, obviously, if none exist. The only way for one to exist is to go through an FDA approved clinical trial and have published data that through the FDA, approved by the FDA. But anyways, we might get into that more later. What I was trying to get at it with my opening statement here was we're biased. Everybody's biased. In the 20th century medicine, Western medicine, we will look back and see that the bias was mostly created by a conflict of interest from a monetary standpoint. So if your physician is still practicing 20th century medicine, I would highly recommend you seek out another healthcare alternative, bottom line.
Yeah.
Because, and that's what we're talking about today, 20th century versus 21st century medicine. And I would like to see 21st century medicine be more of a Veritas-like medicine, which is just the truth. Your body's created to heal itself, defend itself. You have the most amazing built-in mask, if you want to call it that, way better than any mask that man will come up with, to defend you against any respiratory inhalant that you breathe in. You're breathing in viruses all day, every day, with or without the mask. You're breathing in pollutants. You're breathing in, if you live here, you're breathing in glyphosate, Roundup. We're breathing in stuff all the time, and there's no way any man-made technique is going to be better than our God-given filtration system in your nose and your mucous membranes and your cilia, and then the white blood cells that line your inside of your trachea and your gut. I mean, the way that germs get in you basically is through, if you swallow them, through your GI tract, or through, if you breathe them, through the respiratory tract. And that's it, basically. I mean, yes, there's sexually transmitted diseases. There are, if you break your skin open and have a cut, you can get infected that way. But in general, I'm talking about swallowing or breathing. Well, you have an incredible defense system for in both of those pathways. God designed it that way. So the lack of understanding of that and the lack of trusting that has led us in our own strength and our own wisdom as mankind to devise schemes to try to protect ourselves. And guys, you will not find any mechanism that is more beneficial than your God-given design. And it's the lack of stewardship of that design that will have you be high risk, that will keep you high risk and keep you susceptible to both chronic disease and acute infection. It's clear. It's so clear. Common sense-wise, that's clear. Historically, looking back at the data, that's clear. And currently, looking at the data, it's clear. Our top two killers, heart disease and cancer, killing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands every year. And it's almost always totally preventable. The literature is very clear. 95 to 98% of all these chronic diseases that are killing us related to your diet and lifestyle. That is stewardship. Stewardship of your terrain, of your physiology, of the way God's designed you. And it's a lack of stewardship that's going to cause the issue. So I feel like we're sitting here still not talking about this lack of stewardship. And we're instead going to talk about social distancing and put a mask on. I mean, I had some friends from, I won't call out the town because I know these people are trying to do what's right, but it's a local small town around here. They've roped off the park. Kids can't go to the park. It's roped off because it has a slide that's one of those tunnels, one of those enclosed slides. Apparently that's the reason they roped off the park. And there's literally people scared of going to parks. And I mean, the way people look at you at the grocery store, it's crazy. So we're going to,
I mean, let me ask a question right now. This whole conversation, if it was really, I mean, I know it's a virulent strain of a coronavirus that it's easily transmissible.
Similar to very virulent influenza strains, and we'll talk about those numbers in a minute.
But if it was such the death sentence that we keep being told,
which it's not,
you would think that all these these essential businesses, excuse me, not non, but essential, like the big Walmarts and Market Streets and all these other places. I was in there the first time I'd been in one in last week. Prior to that, I hadn't been in about 2 or 3 weeks. And you had people all over the place, you know, rubbing their face with their plastic gloves on, masks not properly fitted. I mean, I'm just noticing this as I'm just walking through, and I'm not wearing anything. No mask, no gloves.
Yep.
And I'm looking at this stuff going, if it's really that, I mean, we would have, everybody in there would be infected already.
Yep. Well, that's what some new studies are showing. I was going to mention this.
come on.
Study out of Stanford. Published Friday, the 18th of April, 2020. And what they're showing is the reported cases of positive COVID-19 in this community was 1,000 people were reportedly. That was the known data in this community. 1,000 people were infected. So then they went and did this antibody test on 3,000 people randomly in the community. And what they found was... there was like a 4%, between 2.5 to 4.2% of the county residents are estimated to have antibodies against the virus. That means 48,000 to 81,000 people in this county actually had the virus. This was based off a 3,300 sampling. So they took 3,300 people in this community, in this county, and it was this 3 to 4%. Rate of infection. So 81,000 versus 1,000 that was being reported. So as we've talked about this whole time since the very beginning of this, those initial predictions of millions and millions of people dying, obviously that was way off. But even the lower predictions of this is going to be a 2% death rate when the flu typically is about 0.1%. But even those numbers are off. If you apply this study, which I'm not going to say this is the one study we have to apply across the board, we'll see more and more. In fact, there was a second one out of England, but showed similar results. And we'll see more and more as time goes on that a third of the population right now is probably close to infected. But if you apply that to the death rate, you're down at the flu death rate. You're at the 0.1% death rate. So this is not Ebola and hemorrhagic fever and even the previous SARS coronaviruses. So this 30 to 50% death rate, it's not what it is, period.
But it's not weaponized smallpox either.
Right.
But it has gotten so ridiculous.
And the response that we have, this lets everyone stand far apart and rope off a park and put the fear into people. And I'm not even getting into, because I haven't studied it enough. I've had a number of people email me and say, hey, look at this study. For every 1% increase in unemployment, you have XYZ percent increase in suicides, depression, child abuse. I mean, the unintended consequences are significant, and that's my biggest concern, is we're shooting from the hip in man's wisdom, and that wisdom's coming from these powers that be that are influenced by things that aren't necessarily your health, and we'll talk about that more too.
Okay, we'll go to the phones. Good morning. Welcome into the show. Are you there?
Hey, Stephen.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
This is Eddie Perry.
Okay. You have a question there, Eddie?
I wanted to talk to you about some of the things that we've discussed before, but mainly, if I can, about the three R's of salvation.
Well, that might be for the next show, I think. I think you're thinking about the next show coming up at 10 o'clock. Sorry about that. I thought he was ready to ask you a question about COVID.
Well, I don't mind talking about the word, because the word, the truth, is going to set you free, and it is the number one builder of your terrain to protect you against COVID-19, but to protect you on everything else that's out there and everything that's coming down the road. So I appreciate you bringing that to light, Eddie. But yeah, preacher will be here next hour, so the three R's I'm not familiar with. But so I want to go back to these numbers, this Stanford study that came out, and a similar study in England are showing that this virus is spreading. It's infecting a lot of people that have zero symptoms or extremely mild symptoms, and that's what we've been saying the whole time. Mm-hmm. Now, the high-risk patients, and it's been the same historically. How did measles mortality rate and whooping cough mortality rate drop 99% in the early 1900s to the mid-1900s? It wasn't because of the vaccine, because this 99% drop occurred prior to the vaccine even being invented. Well, they identified that these outbreaks occur in densely populated areas with poor sanitation and lack of clean water and good nutrition and not enough sunlight. These basic things. So what are we seeing? Same thing. Highly densely populated areas. And people think we're not malnourished today because there's food on every corner. Every convenience store has food. That's not food. What I like to remind everyone is what most people in the Western world eat is processed food-like substances, not real food. In fact, I heard the other day that some store was running out of the cereal aisle was pretty empty, and all the frozen pizza was just about sold out, but they were throwing away fresh produce.
Terrible.
Which next week we're going to have Chad Wall on talking about regenerative agriculture, because I don't blame some of these kids for not liking a tomato. I barely like a tomato these days, unless you have one grown in the right kind of soil and picked vine ripened, and then guaranteed your kids will love that cucumber and that tomato because it tastes amazing. But anyways, our poor stewardship of our soil and our farming has led to some lack of taste in the food. But the point being, we're not eating food. We're not eating real food anymore. So we're nutrient depleted. And believe me, the folks that are succumbing to Corona or COVID-19, they not only will they have chronic disease, but where's chronic disease come from?
Mm-hmm.
It comes from an inefficient mitochondria. What's a mitochondria? Every cell of your body's got these carburetors called mitochondria. They have to make energy and clear exhaust. How do they do that well and efficiently? They do it when they have plenty of nutrition, proper, real, from God, God food, not man food. If you're going to pump your body full of nutrient-depleted, pro-inflammatory seed oils, which is what packaged food has, soybean, canola, cottonseed oils, these are pro-inflammatory, and you're going to pump your body full of enriched white flour. What's it enriched with? Synthetic vitamins. Why'd they do that? Because they took out all the God-given natural nutrients, and it was killing people, so they had to enrich the flour, including with iron fortification, and we've talked about that ad nauseum, how iron drives all this inflammatory process, totally gunks up your carburetor, and causes you to blow out a ton of black smoke out your tailpipe. But that's what we've done. We've filled our bellies full. So we have plenty of calories, but no nutrients. So we are actually malnourished. We're overfed and malnourished. And it's these folks who have taken this to the extreme. And we're now a third generation of birthing babies like this. And our gut flora is decimated. Our gut flora talks to the good bacteria in your gut. Talk to your white blood cells. Keep them primed. Stress shuts down your stomach acid. Stomach acid's one of those ways that God designed you to kill these bugs. Every bite of food you eat and saliva that you swallow is full of hundreds of bugs. Your stomach acid kills them. It's part of your design. Stomach acid production is shut down by sugar and stress. This is the kind of stewardship or lack thereof that I'm talking about that's going to keep you susceptible to disease. So you live in a smog-filled city full of Wi-Fi and 5G, and that is... studies are clear what 5G does on the voltage-gated calcium channels on the cell membrane. And it will deplete and not enhance, for sure, your immune system. It will hamper the immunity. It will hamper the cellular function, the mitochondrial function in the cell. It's clear. So we're doing all these things. We're stacking up all these things that tear down our cellular health, tear down our gut health, and we're totally depleted of nutrition. So, yeah, they're sitting ducks for COVID-19. But no one's talking about that. We're not talking about how we are a malnourished society under a tremendous toxicity and stress, and we're sitting ducks. Instead, we're going to throw a mask on and put tape on the grocery store floor to everyone stay 6 feet away from each other. It's ridiculous.
Text on the text line says, I'm seriously skeptical and paranoid about COVID-19 testing, which might become mandatory. How do you feel about testing, and do we proactively test? If so, why?
I'm very skeptical also, so be encouraged. We're in good company with each other. Here's why. Because the guy that invented the PCR, the RT, real-time PCR, that all these drive-through rapid screen tests, the guy that invented that test said, do not use this test for diagnostic purposes. It's not a good test for diagnostic purposes. That's the guy that invented the test. So is there a question about false positives and false negatives? Absolutely. And I forget which one of my colleagues gave this analogy, but I'm going to repeat it. So a true test is called a gold standard. And the analogy that was used was, if you want to count how many feet, human feet, I think this is probably Tom Cowan, how many human feet are in Lubbock County? You employ a bunch of people, people go count feet, you know? You just go count the feet. So you come up with a total number of human feet in Lubbock County, and there's your number. That's the gold standard. You actually went and visualized and looked at and saw those feet and counted them. Another way to do this, but it wouldn't be the gold standard, would be count the population, how many people live in Lubbock County. And then you could extrapolate, well, everybody has 2 feet, so therefore that'll be pretty close. Well, there's some amputated, you know, there's some amputees in Lubbock County, so you'd be off a little bit if that's what you used. Or there's another test you could do. You could just count how many shoes were sold in Lubbock County this year, last year, whatever. And you could extrapolate, well, there was, you know, X number of pairs of shoes sold. So therefore, we can extrapolate that everybody, you know, that bought a, well, there's some assumptions there. If you're going to use the shoe as a test for how many feet are in Lubbock, you would assume everyone just has one pair of shoes, and everyone bought one pair every single year, and you know, and you go on and on. Shoelaces, how you count the number of shoelaces sold. Well, same thing. Some shoes don't have shoelaces, and some people have three pairs of shoes, and some people only buy shoes once every 5 years. I mean, so the further you get away from actually measuring the exact thing, the more assumptions you have to make, the more room there is for error. And that's where we're at with the PCR test, and that's why the guy that invented it said it's not good for diagnostic. It can't be a gold standard because it's measuring shoelaces, basically. So we need to talk a little bit about what is a virus. A virus is not a living entity. It's not like a bacteria, like staph or strep. You know, you remember back in science class, you could look at a bacteria under a microscope and you could see it moving around, and it can multiply and divide and replicate and all that. A virus, it can't do any of that. It doesn't have its own motility. It cannot replicate on its own. It can't make its own energy. It has none of the cellular functions of a microbe. All that a virus is a little chopped up piece of genetic material, DNA or RNA. And with COVID, it's RNA. And so this is just a little strand of genetic material. That's it. It's this little broken strand of genetic material, and it's encased in your own human cellular plasma and cell membrane, basically. So that little encasing of this genetic material is all human stuff. That's a virus. It's got to get into your cell, and then that little piece of genetic material can get replicated over and over and over and over, and it can get encased, and it can be spit out of the cell again. And so what the PCR is actually measuring is just for this genetic material. That's it. Well, what they've shown is this same genetic material can be extruded from a cancer cell or from any cell that's stressed in the lung tissue. And I'm not going to do a deep dive into how PCR is performed, but bottom line for the person that texted in, yes, that test is, there are plenty of assumptions that have to be made to run that test. And that leaves a lot of question marks, a whole lot of question marks. And then there's the antibody test. That's the new one that's kind of been out lately. The past couple weeks, FDA fast-tracked a bunch of these antibody tests, and that's what the Stanford study was based off of. And this is measuring the antibodies in the human body. So if you get exposed to some foreign material, your body makes an antibody to that, and you keep these antibodies floating around in your bloodstream for a long time. And that's what this other test is measuring. And that one, again, is a surrogate marker. It's not actually identifying the exact virus. It's identifying an antibody your body made to this foreign substance. So it's still not perfectly accurate. So, yeah, a lot of questions. Now, a gold standard for a virus test would be, you know, take chickenpox, for example. And you get those little blister lesions. You know, pop one of those lesions, get a bunch of that fluid out, and get an electron microscope and look and see, is there a whole lot of some different unique looking viral material that's not normally found in humans? And yeah, there will be, and you'll see it. And then you can take that material and go infect a lab rat and induce the exact same disease process or symptoms like with chickenpox. That's called Koch's postulates. That's how you can determine, does something actually cause an infection? So you have to isolate the actual bug. Then you have to reintroduce it into a healthy population and see that it induces the exact same symptoms or disease. And that's one of the fulfillment criteria for Koch's postulates that medicine has used for, you know, over 100 years. And we haven't done that. No one's done that yet with COVID. Probably won't be done. So, yeah, testing, that's a whole, I need to try to find some expert in these tests and bring him on the show, because there are a ton of questions with testing for sure.
Now, how can we, another text, how can we legally decline a COVID-19 test or vaccine once it is available?
You pull out your little constitution from your pocket and you hold it up and you tell them, here's my permission slip, the U.S. Constitution. Now, could there be laws put on the books I guess they could try. Would there be a whole lot of attorneys, you know, filing appeals to that law or taking that law to court? Absolutely there would. So the way it's done now, there are these recommended vaccine schedules put out by the CDC, and doctors' offices will tell you to get these done per the vaccine schedule of the CDC. And if you refuse to, then there are certain places that can refuse to provide you their services, such as public schools. Now, most states, including Texas, have vaccine exemptions, and there can be exemptions for religious reasons, health reasons, conscious objection reasons. Some states are more lenient than others there, or have more ability to allow you to say no thank you. And at least as of right now in Texas, you just get in touch with the health department and you ask for that exemption form, and they send it to you in the mail, and you check it off and you sign it, get it notarized, and you take it to your public school, and that qualifies. You're able to still attend public school. So there is no requirement right now. Now, how could they make a requirement? Well, I've heard all kinds of things, like if you want to fly on a public airplane or get a driver's license. Now, I don't know how many of these could be constitutional or not, and what kind of legal battle you could undertake to try to go against that. But, you know, that's a lot of conjecture for future. We'll just have to see what happens. And maybe after the break we can talk more about, because this is where really the conflict of interest comes in. People don't realize who is funding the American Academy of Pediatrics, who is funding the World Health Organization, who's funding the CDC. I mean, most people don't realize the CDC owns and sells, I'll get the number during the commercial break, but it's like 50 different vaccines. The conflict of interest is unbelievable. And you're not going to hear about this. It's factual. It's out there. You can go find it, but you're not going to hear about it on any typical media outlet, because I think it was J.B. Hanley that we had on earlier a year or two ago in his book, and I'll look for it too in the break. I think it was like 70% of all advertising dollars on the major networks during an election year was pharmaceuticals. I mean, it is unbelievable, the conflict of interest. But before we go to the break, back to the numbers of how this spreads and who's been infected and death rate and all that, because remember, this whole shutdown was based off the fact that millions were going to die. Now it's clear we're at like 40,000, and I'll remind everyone, a bad flu season is 60 to 80,000. Right now, though, the numbers are getting so... I can't trust any number coming out as far as deaths from COVID, because everything's getting coded COVID death. If you die right now in the hospital, chances are it's going to say on your death certificate, COVID-19. There's a doctor, Scott Jensen. He's a state senator in Minnesota, and he talked about this. I think it was probably Fox that did his interview. He talked about how when in December, if he were to fill out a death certificate in the hospital with someone who died from pneumonia and there was a flu outbreak in the community, he would not have put influenza on the death certificate. He would have put respiratory failure secondary to pneumonia, secondary to the patient's emphysema. You put these contributing factors. He never put, and neither did I, when I was filling out death certificates in Garza County, people at the nursing home. You know, died from pneumonia, you put pneumonia and then congestive heart failure and atrial fibrillation or diabetes, whatever the contributing factors were. And what he's saying, and this is coming out of the CDC recommendation, if you suspect COVID-19, put it on the death certificate. And I would encourage people to look at Dr. Scott Jensen's interview, again, Minnesota State Senator, how all these death certificates are getting coded for COVID-19. Medicare has issued... for hospital reimbursement, $13,000 for reimbursement if you have a diagnosis of COVID-19 on that patient, a Medicare patient. If they get put on a ventilator, that reimbursement for Medicare goes up to $39,000. If it's a COVID-19 code, and that's what people need to realize. You're a code. Your diagnosis is a code. Every disease, quote-unquote disease, they're all consequences, remember. But say hypertension, congestive heart failure, atrial fibrillation, diabetes, whatever, there's a code, a number that goes with it. Like for diabetes, it's 250.00. It used to be. I don't use these codes anymore because I'm not in that system anymore. The point being, everything has a code. So the code that they've released for COVID-19 pneumonia will pay a one-time payment of $13,000 to the hospital. And if you're on a ventilator, $39,000. Now, if you don't use that code, if you just use pneumonia or influenza-like illness or something else, the reimbursements aren't as high. There's another conflict of interest. I mean, these hospitals are shutting down because all their elective procedures have been postponed, and they're having to furlough and lay people off. When money and medicine intermingle, bad things happen. And I'm not calling every doctor out there bad, of course not, or even the hospital administrators. It's a system that's jacked up and so messed up. You've got to try to, quote-unquote, game the system. And you're not gaming the system. $39,000 reimbursement for a COVID-19 ventilator patient, if that's what they're going to pay you, and if you don't code it that, you get paid less, and you're trying to keep your doors open, heck yeah, you're going to code it. It's not illegal. They just told you to do it. But my point is, you start to intermingle money and medicine, it's harder and harder and harder to find the truth. Another piece of truth that I want to share, and then we'll go to the break, but this was an article I saw this weekend. It's a professor at Tel Aviv University, Yitzhak Ben Israel, and what he did was plot the rates of new coronavirus infections in the U.S., the U.K., Sweden, Italy, Israel, Switzerland, France, Germany, and Spain. He plotted the rates of new infections in these countries. And what he found was, irrespective of if the country did a super strict quarantine like Israel did, or kind of went continued business as usual like Sweden did, the coronavirus had the exact same curve. It peaked at about 6 weeks and started to kind of subside at about 8 weeks, the exact same way in every country despite the different efforts. Very interesting. So when you talk about this huge quarantine and shut everything down, well, it was to slow this thing down. Well, did it really? According to this article by Dr. Yitzhak Ben Israel, it doesn't matter what you did. So we need to analyze that. We need to learn our lesson for next time. So the lesson is, we need to teach people how to steward their health. We need to teach them that their standard American diet is a nutrient depleted pro-inflammatory diet, and that's going to make you a petri dish for these bugs. We need to teach people that sunlight's beneficial for their immune system, and their gut flora is beneficial for their immune system, as is exercise and hydration and remineralization, and that when these bugs come, they're going to do what they do. They're going to follow these curves despite our 6 feet and our mask and our shut the economy down, with all the unintended consequences of that. Stanford's coming out with a study that 85,000 people have this in this one county in California when we thought only 1,000 had it. That tells you it's spreading on its own, and people are building immunity on their own because these 85,000 people don't have symptoms. And these curves are the same whether you shut the country down or you stay open, Sweden versus Israel. So we need to step back and look at all of this with as much of an unbiased eye as possible, not influenced by money and fear. And that's what, unfortunately, the bias that I'm seeing through this whole thing is fear and money and power and control. It's crazy. It's not reality. It's not the truth. So when we get back from the break, we'll talk more about some of these things, but we're going to talk. I'm going to quote Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who is on this Bill Gates thing and vaccine thing and big time. You want to see some truth, you just go to Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s website. But we'll talk more about that when we get back from the break. This is Ben Edwards. You're the Cure. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Welcome back into You're the Cure right here on AM 580 and 95.9 FM. Of course, brought to you by VeritasMedical.com. Check out the website, VeritasMedical.com. You can find past archived programs there as well as other important information, VeritasMedical.com. Dr. Ben Edwards, MD, right here on the show. If
you have a question along the way, feel free to give us a text, 806-745-5800 along the way.
All right. I just remembered that at the top of the show, I was saying 21st century medicine versus 20th century medicine. So let me describe that a little more, because you need to move into the 21st century with your thinking and with your the way you steward your health. And most likely there's not going to be a Western trained physician that's readily accessible to you that's practicing 21st century medicine. They're all going to be stuck in 20th century. And what 20th century is, germ theory and gene theory. Both those theories are incomplete. They're not the full truth. And in my opinion, they're dead. They're dead theories. It's time to move on, move into 21st century medicine, the truth. And the truth is, your epigenetics rule your genes. It's factors outside your genes that turn your genes on or off. Your terrain rules the germ. It's not the germ ruling over you. If your terrain is optimized, these germs will move right through you, not affect you at all, not be a problem. How does poliovirus not bother 90%+ of the people? Because it's an enterovirus. Enteroviruses enter through the GI tract. If you have a healthy GI tract, which back in the last half of the century, of last century, normal stomach acid, normal gut flora, and not have leaky gut, have tight junctions that are functioning like they're supposed to, and the polio virus is not going to affect you. Other enteroviruses, it's the same thing. They enter through the GI tract and have a healthy GI tract. You don't need to worry about the germ. If you're going to chase germs with vaccines and antibiotics, you're going to end up with antibiotic resistance. These bugs are going to find their way around the antibiotics, and that's what we're seeing in some estimates, are the antibiotic resistant bacteria are going to overwhelm our society in the coming 10 to 20 years. Again, it's because we're chasing a bug instead of bolstering our terrain. But same with vaccines. The WHO reluctantly, the World Health Organization, and this is from Robert F. Kennedy, the World Health Organization reluctantly in 2017, reluctantly admitted that the global polio explosion is predominantly vaccine strain, meaning it is coming from the Gates vaccine program. That's Bill Gates. The most frightening epidemics in Congo, Philippines, and Afghanistan were all linked to the Gates vaccine program. By 2018, 3/4 of all global polio cases were from the vaccine strain, from the Bill Gates vaccine strain of polio. What I'm getting at is, if you're going to chase bugs with a vaccine, the bugs are going to mutate and morph, or you'll eradicate one strain and another strain is going to pop up, or the vaccine strain will start to become the most virulent and the problem. When you start to mess with, manipulate, and alter in our narrow-minded, arrogant, finite human brain's way and mind's way of contriving and scheming, we're always going to fall short. I mean, God's way to vaccinate you on measles was for your mom to breastfeed you, and you got her antibodies, and those antibodies stayed in you through also passing in utero through the placenta, that you got them that way, and then breastfeeding. Those antibodies stayed with you for 6 or 7 years while your immune system was developing in those first few years, when you would be more susceptible. And now you're a 7-year-old going to school in first or second grade, measles comes through town and you get it. And it's a benign childhood illness. It's a cold, and you get over it very nicely. And you made your own antibodies. At 7 years old, you made your own antibodies, and the way that bug came into you was a natural way. You breathed it in or swallowed it in. And there's certain immune system cells that line your respiratory tract and your GI tract, and they make these antibodies properly. And these antibodies stay with you your entire life. For the next 70 years, 80 years, you'll have these antibodies because it was manufactured in a proper way, as opposed to a shot that goes through your muscle, and the immune system cells that are in your muscle are different than what's in your GI tract and your respiratory tract, and those antibodies aren't lifelong. but back to God's way. So now you're 7 years old, you get the measles, it's a benign childhood illness, it's a little cold, you're sick for a week and you get over it, you made your own antibodies, and now when you're 25 years old and you're having babies, your antibodies are there and you pass those through the placenta to your baby and through the breast milk to your baby, and that baby's protected for those first few years till they're 7 years old, and the measles, and it just keeps going like that. Over and over and over. So how do we get off? We stop breastfeeding is one way. We start malnourishing the kids. We start living in crowded conditions. We start killing our gut flora. We start altering our terrain, and now these bugs are able to overcome us. It's clear when you step back and look from God's perspective. So this is really all coming out of this theory of evolution. We evolved from pond scum over billions of years, which is obviously not true. It's amazing. We've got caterpillars at the house right now. The kids are doing a science project and actually ordered these in the mail. And we just got them a few days ago, and they're crawling around. And then yesterday or day before, they went to the top of the jar, and they started hanging from the lid of the jar. And literally last night, there's one was starting to make its little cocoon thing, and by this morning they're all the incredible design of just a caterpillar going to a butterfly. I mean, you could spend many hours studying that and just be blown away by the incredible intelligence and design of that. So, and that's just a caterpillar, much less the whole universe and our cells and this mitochondria and the way we make energy and the way the body interacts and the way these bacteria interact with our immune system. It's incredible. But this theory of evolution, we evolved out of pond scum and we're still evolving and we're just not quite highly evolved enough. So we have to, in our own schemes, in our own thinking, our own ways, come up with an antibiotic and a vaccine and a mask and social distancing and all these things. It's a lie. It's not the truth. The truth is you're designed beautifully and perfectly, and your body knows exactly how to take care of itself. My kid was on a scooter with bare feet, and he cut his big toe, gashed it open on something outside. We cleaned it up. We said a prayer over it, and then I told him, God's design is so amazing. That's going to start to heal. Even by morning, it'll start the healing process. And you'll see that it looks different in the morning when you wake up. And it did this morning look a little different. And I told him, rest assured, it will be completely and fully healed within a few days. You don't need to worry about it. And I got to remind him about his broken arm that he got a couple years ago, falling off a jungle gym. And how all we had to do was line that bone up. That actually was already pretty lined up as a hairline crack. Just sit there and give it some time, and the bone will grow together. The bone will grow stronger, actually. So I got to remind him of that. The body will fix a cut and fix a broken bone just as it will kill the coronavirus that comes into your lungs if you breathe it in. And you are breathing it in. Guaranteed. It's all over the place, and it's probably been here way before January. But again, it's this, my kids understand God's designed them, and He is a loving Father in heaven. He's a loving creator and designer, and He didn't design us so poorly that we're just going to all start to get sick by the time we're 27 years old, which is what Blue Cross Blue Shield study showed. Their 2019 health study, the average American at age 27 is starting to have health declines. 8 of the top 10 conditions in millennials have double-digit gains. Our health curve has dramatically been reduced. And my kids understand that God did not design us so poorly that our health will fail us at age 27 and we'll just be floundering around for 50 years until we die with disease and a poorly functioning mind and body. That's not the truth. So my kids understand the truth. They're designed by an amazing creator, and the body will do what it's supposed to do. But man in his own schemes, his own ways, driven by the root of all evil, the love of money, will come up with their own schemes of doing things, and it will always be worse. And that's 20th century medicine. Germ theory, gene theory. That's going to produce antibiotics and vaccines, and it's going to produce a bunch of pharmaceuticals because you're a victim of the germ and the gene. That is the 20th century way of thinking. That's not the truth. 21st century is you won't need a doctor. How do you need to not worry about Medicare failing you and the hospitals failing you and not have enough ventilators and that whole system crashing? Is not needed. And you shouldn't need it. Your body, nobody should need that system, because your body is equipped and designed to handle all these things and avoid all disease if you steward it the right way. But stay stuck in the 20th century if you want to. and be a part of that system that's going to continue to fail. Here's some quotes. This is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. The FDA receives 45% of its annual budget from the pharmaceutical industry. The World Health Organization gets roughly 50% of its budget from private sources, including Big Pharma and its allied foundations. The CDC, quite frankly, is a vaccine company. Again, this is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. The CDC owns 56 vaccine patents and buys and then very profitably redistributes $4.6 billion in vaccines every single year through the Vaccines for Children program, which represents over 40% of its total budget. Okay. Now, if these vaccines have been studied for safety and efficacy, meaning they actually work and that they're safe, that's great. Let's spend 40% of our total budget. Let's make a little profit on them because the government needs, you know, money to pay its employees. I'm not against profits. I'm not against doing things that benefit people. Efficacy, does it work? And safety, is it safe? Is it going to harm more than it helps? I'm not going to do it. Is it going to help more than it harms? I might do it. So all that statement was saying was your main organizations that we're all looking to right now during this crisis, FDA, the WHO, and the CDC, have 45 to 50% of their budget coming in through these pharmaceuticals and vaccine companies. That at least should cause us to have a question mark and want to thoroughly look at every single thing that they're recommending and saying and leading our country down the road of. Here's a quote from J.B. Hanley. J.B. was on our show a couple years ago. I highly recommend everybody listen to that interview and read his book, How to End the Autism Epidemic. Here's his quote. The American Academy of Pediatrics derives a majority of its outside contributions, estimated at more than $25 million per year, from pharmaceutical companies that make vaccines. The pediatricians that the AAP represent derive the majority of their annual revenues from the administration of vaccines to their pediatric patients. That's J.B. Hanley from his book, How to End the Autism Epidemic. Another quote. Perhaps the most infamous example of corruption at the CDC is how the head of the CDC from 2002 to 2009, Julie Gerberding, left her government job at the CDC to become president of Merck's $5 billion a year vaccine division. Merck's CEO understandably described Gerberding as an ideal choice, quote unquote. She held that position until 2014 and currently holds the Merck job title of Executive Vice President and Chief Patent Officer, Strategic Communications, Global Public Policy, and Population Health. That should be a little bit of a red flag. You're going from the head of the vaccine division, the CDC, to the head of Merck. Now, if these folks were all pure and innocent and righteous, and, you know, I don't have a problem with it, but I'll have another quote after we answer this text real quick about how the four companies that make virtually all the recommended vaccines are all convicted felons.
Nice.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr., collectively, they have paid over $35 billion since 2009 for defrauding regulators, lying to and bribing government officials and physicians, falsifying science, and leaving a trail of incurable chronic disease and injuries and deaths from products they knew to be dangerous and still sold under pretense of safety and efficacy. Again, that's Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Now, there's a chiropractor in the Dallas-Fort Worth area that got a threatening letter from the Justice Department attorney saying, take it off your website. Quit saying homeopathic remedies could be a treatment or cure for COVID-19. Robert Round, a colleague of mine who's a godfather of ozone, he and his partner, Dr. Robbins, have done over 400,000 ozone, medical ozone, IV ozone treatments. I'd consider them the world's expert. They're published on it. They've treated Ebola with it. And he quoted some published literature on his website about ozone and COVID-19, and FTC sent him a letter to take it down. I could be, if I don't, if I'm not careful, if I start to claim cure and treatment for these things, I could get the same letters, or I could be fined. And if I had the money to just pay these fines or not worry about my medical license, maybe I could be a little more cavalier. These companies, could you imagine if it were me or Dr. Rowan or that chiropractor in Dallas or any other physician that's naturally leans more natural, if we had been convicted of defrauding regulators, lying to and bribing government officials and physicians, falsifying science, and leaving a trail of incurable chronic disease, injuries, and death from products that I knew were dangerous, if on my VeritasMarket.com store that's only there to sell you supplemental nutrients that your food is lacking, and the goal is, as we'll talk about next week with Chad Wall, to get our farmers making food that has these nutrients in it so no one has to buy anything from VeritasMarket.com. But could you imagine if VeritasMarket.com was selling products that I knew were dangerous and were and told you they were safe and that they worked, and then I bribed regulators and government officials and falsified data to cover all this up? Could you imagine if I did that, some other doctors did that? That's what these four top vaccine companies have already been convicted of. These are felonies they've been convicted of, and they've paid $35 billion out since 2009 for these convictions. And that's who we're putting our hope in? That's who we're putting our faith and our trust, not only for chronic disease management, but for vaccines? Come on, guys. Get your head out of the sand. If you want to be 20th century medicine, germ theory, gene theory, and you want to submit yourself to these type of companies, and unfortunately the doctors are getting medical education, we'll talk about that in the final few minutes, the Flexner Report. Albert Flexner, 1910, published this report when Rockefeller and Carnegie hired him to publish it, because they were looking at what to do with some of these oil. You know, pharmaceuticals come out of the oil industry. And I'm not against the oil industry. Obviously, we're in West Texas. I have tons of clients, patients, friends in the oil industry. But in that frame of mind, Rockefeller and Carnegie were looking for other industries to move into, and some of these byproducts of the petroleum industry. That's where pharmaceuticals are made from, mostly is these petroleum byproducts. They're a chemical version of a plant-based chemical. So these scientists go out in the rainforest and find these different plants and roots and leaves and berries and herbs and come back and study them, and they selectively pick out a few chemicals out of the 1,000 phytochemicals, 8,000 phytochemicals in one cranberry. They'll pick out one or two of these phytochemicals, and they'll make a synthetic version of it from a petroleum byproduct. And so they can patent it. You can't patent a chemical from a cranberry. You can patent a man-made version of it. And that's what they were doing. They were shifting their industry. They were diversifying their portfolio out of the oil industry. And they were going into the pharmaceutical industry. They bought shares of a German pharmaceutical company. And they hired Flexner, and he standardized medical education. And he shut down homeopathic medical schools. And he shut down herbalists and acupuncturists and chiropractic, called them quacks. They went after electric, Tesla and people that were looking at energy medicine, because the body really is an energetic electric machine, amazing design. They shut them all down, and they standardized all education to allopathic pharmaceutical based. That's 20th century medicine, guys. That is where we've been. That's why we went from healthiest to sickest. That's why we get the worst outcomes. That's why more of our population is sick than ever before. Don't stay in 20th century thinking in medicine under that system. Unfortunately, good, well-meaning doctors that love people and went to medical school to help people are under that system of education that only knows how to treat symptoms. When I had a patient come see me early in my practice when I was a young physician, and she had chest pain, I determined it was from gastroesophageal reflux disease, GERD, heartburn, and I gave her Nexium. She refused to take it, and I couldn't convince her to take it. And she kept telling me, I don't want to treat a symptom. And I kept telling her, this isn't a symptom, it's a disease. And she kept saying, no, it's a symptom. And I kept saying, no, I don't know what you're talking about. It's a disease. And we went back and forth, and I finally just stuffed the prescription in her purse, and I walked out. And I did not know what she was talking about. Because in medical school, they didn't train me that these were symptoms. These were diseases. And now it's clear that these quote-unquote diseases are just symptoms. They're all consequences. Medical school trains doctors to classify symptoms with a label. We call it disease. So chest pain is a great example. If you walk into a doctor's office with chest pain, he's going to ask you a few questions right off the bat to determine if this chest pain is coming from a blockage in your coronary artery, or if it's coming from heartburn, or is it coming from a pulled muscle in your rib cage, or is it coming from the lining of your lung being inflamed and irritated? We call it pleurisy. But that's it. We're going to ask you a few questions, run a few tests, maybe some blood work, EKG, maybe a CAT scan, x-ray, so we can classify your complaints, your symptoms, with a label. Angina, pleurisy, reflux, pulled muscle, whatever. And then that's it. It's a matching game. We match your symptoms to a label, and that label has a pharmaceutical treatment. Every label, every disease name has a drug to treat it. That's U.S. medical education. That's Western standardized medical education. Flexner Report is where it all started in the early 1900s. That's 20th century medicine. We need to move on from it. And unfortunately, you can't rely on this system of conventional Western medicine fully, because as I've outlined clearly, there's a monetary bias and conflict of interest, as Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has pointed out clearly. And even without that bias, let's say none of that were true. All this money flowing around and people revolving door between vaccine companies and FDA and CDC. Let's say none of that. It's all just coincidence. Fine. Just look at the results. Look at our medical results, our chronic disease rates, our infection disease rates through the roof. So let's just question the theory that all this is coming out of, German gene theory. It's not true. The literature's clear on it. But unfortunately, guys, you're going to have to take control of your own health. You're the cure. You're going to have to do your own independent exploring and researching and educate yourself and become informed. Informed consent. You need all the information, all the facts before you can consent for a doctor to do anything to you. It's called informed consent. The doctor is supposed to be informing you, but he's not fully informed. So if you want to move on and not be a part of this system, not be a victim, and not have to worry about COVID or any other germ, then get educated in the truth. And the truth is, God designed you beautifully, steward it. That's why we've boiled it down to the four pillars: nutrition, hydration, movement, and peace. Do those things. Believe the truth. Don't give in to the spirit of fear, because that's not the truth. And your body will function like it's supposed to. This is 21st century medicine. Get on the bandwagon and let's go. Because there's going to be a group that's set apart and that's healthy. And it'll be clear who this group is. The group is going to be the ones who believe the truth and implement the truth in their life. So, there's my soapbox for today. Be careful with, just turn the news off. That's all I can say. Turn it off. It's just absolutely, it's coming from a biased viewpoint. It's not the truth. It's not the full truth. It's these numbers that aren't accurate, and they're making projections that aren't accurate, and everything's being decided by these few upper people who are influenced and biased. So I'm going to try to get Robert F. Kennedy on the show later, because he has some amazing stats from all these vaccine eradication programs that Bill Gates has implemented throughout India and other third world countries, and how they are just absolutely ravaging. I mean, there are over 400,000 cases. 496,000 children between 2000 and 2017 paralyzed because of the vaccine strain polio epidemic. So anyways, I don't have time to go into all the Bill Gates funded vaccine programs that have had less than stellar results. But Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has a great handle on that, so we'll try to get him on the show. Next week, we're going to talk agriculture, regenerative agriculture, how to get nutrient-rich foods so that you can be healthy and steward your terrain. Chad Wall will be with us next week, hopefully, if he's not out farming. So thanks for being with us. This has been Edwards with You're the Cure. We'll see you next week.